The Birch Bark House, Chapter 1. The Birch Bark House. She was named Omakias, or Little Frog, because her first step was a hop. She grew into a nimble young girl of 7 winters, a thoughtful girl, with shining brown eyes and a wide grin, only missing her 2 top front teeth. She touched her upper lip. She still wasn't used to those teeth gone, and was impatient for a new grown-up teeth to complete her smile. Just like her namesake, Omakias now stared long at the silky patch of bog before she gathered herself and jumped. 1 hummock. Safety. Omakias sprang wide again. This time she landed on the very tip-top of a pointed old stump. She balanced there, looking all around. The lagoon water moved in sparkling crescents. Thick swales of swamp grass rippled. Mud turtles napped in the sun. The world was so calm that Omakias could hear herself blink. Only the sweet call of a solitary white-throated sparrow pierced the cool of the woods beyond. All of a sudden, Grandma yelled, "I found it!" Startled, Omakias slipped and spun her arms in wheels. But somehow kept her balance. 2 big skipping hops, another leap, and she was on dry land. She stepped over spongy leaves and moss into the woods, where the sparrows sang nesting songs in delicate relays. "Where are you?" Nokomis yelled again. "I found the tree!" "I'm coming," Omakias called back to her grandmother. It was spring, time to cut the birch bark. All winter long, Omakias' family lived in a cabin of sweet-scented cedar at the edge of the village of La Pointe, on an island in Lake Superior that her people called Moningwanekaning, Island of the Golden-Breasted Woodpecker. As soon as the earth warmed, the birch bark house always took shape under Nokomis's swift hands. Now the dappled light of tiny new leaves moved on Grandma's beautiful, softly lined face. In one hand, she waved her sharp knife, taken from the beaded pouch on her hip. In the other hand, she held tobacco. Nokomis was ready to make an offering to the spirits or manitous. They loved tobacco. Omakias banged the tree her grandmother had found. "Yes, here. Here it is, this one." Omakias was skinny, wiry and tough for 7 winters. She slammed the trunk of the birch with a big rotten stick. Splinters of soft wood flew. "Buni," Nokomis scolded. "Leave it alone." She walked up to the tree and put her leathery paw-like hands on the smooth bark, feeling for flaws. "Yes," she decided, her eyes sparkling at her granddaughter. "A good one."
"Is it ready?"
"Giget," said Nokomis. "Surely." Nokomis's tobacco pouch was decorated with blue and white beads in the shape of a pipe. She had owned this tobacco bag ever since Omakias could remember. When she talked to the manitous, Nokomis dipped out a pinch of tobacco. "Old sister," she said to the birch bark tree, "we need your skin for our shelter." At the base of the tree, Nokomis left her offering, sweet and fragrant. Then she peered closely, deciding just where to make the first cut. Suddenly, she pressed her razor-sharp knife into the bark. Omakias stepped back. Light filtered golden and green onto their faces. Tiny white flowers poked out of dead leaves. There were still traces of grainy old snowbanks in the shadiest spots, but in places the sun was actually hot. Pow! As soon as Grandma made the proper cuts, the birch bark, filled with spring water, nearly burst from the tree. Omakias helped her grandmother carefully push the bark aside. Then the two peeled it away, strip
by strip. She and Omakias carried the light papery pink-brown rolls out of the woods, down a trail, to a special place near the water. Here they set up the birch bark house. Damp ground made Nokomis's old bones ache, so she spread out her brown cattail mat and sat down there to sew those pieces of bark together. Omakias helped her, threading the tough basswood strands through holes punched by grandmother's awl. Meanwhile, Mama and Omakias's older sister tied together a frame of bent willow poles. Finally, as the light faded, they fastened the mats of bark onto the willow frame, a half-skeleton of pliable saplings. The bark mats overlapped like shingles to shed the rain. Each one was secured to the next, so as not to blow off in a storm. When the house was swept out, smoothed, fussily arranged, and admired, they moved in. The children, Omakias's brother Little Pinch, baby Niwu, Omakias's older sister, pretty Angeline, and Omakias herself, spread their blankets around the stone fire pit. Mama and Nokomis hung the smoky woven bags of rice and tools and medicines from the willow poles above. Omakias's family were Anishinaabe, and this was their island. Her father, her Dede, was in the fur trade business, which meant that he was often gone, paddling the great canoes for the fur company, or sometimes trapping animals himself. Yellow Kettle, her mother, was quick-tempered, but always laughing, and her eyes shrewdly took in the world. Yellow Kettle was a strong-looking woman, and beautiful. Her smile was generous, enigmatic, slightly crooked, and kind. She missed nothing when it came to her children. It was impossible to hide a half-done job, ridiculous even to think of sneaking away in the morning before gathering wood for the fire and water for her cooking pot. And if Mama didn't notice the younger children's whereabouts, Omakias's older sister Angeline surely would. Angeline was smart and so pretty people turned in their tracks to stare at her. Her hair was thick, her hands clever. The beads in her designs were laid down in strict rows. Her stitches never faltered. Her steps, when she walked or danced, were clear and graceful. She was so perfect that Omakias despaired. Still, she hoped that she herself would turn out like Angeline, and was sometimes embarrassed to find herself following at Angeline's heels like a puppy. Most of the time, Angeline was kind to Omakias and let her tag along and admire from a distance. But there were also times her words were sharp as bee stings, and at those times, Omakias shed tears her sister never knew or probably even cared about. For as very beautiful people sometimes are, Angeline could be just a little cold-hearted at times. Omakias's little brother Pinch was the only really big problem in her life. The sad truth was, and she couldn't tell this to a single person, Omakias didn't like Pinch. She thought there was something wrong with him, so greedy, so loud. But although his ways were mischievous and bold, Pinch loved his mother deeply and he clung to her side. In fact, he took up all her attention, even more than the baby. He clutched Mama's skirts with fat, tough little fingers. He yelled at Omakias if she was slow in giving up her willow doll, her little rock people, or anything else for that matter, including food, special pieces of driftwood she found, even her favorite sleeping place near Grandma. He thought he deserved everything. At least when it came to Niwu, there was nothing to complain about. He was so sweet that Omakias often pretended he was her very own baby. Of course, she hardly ever got to hold him, for he was still very young. Still, she was sure he preferred her to Angeline, and certainly to Pinch. Sometimes he even held his arms out to her